Chinese piano prodigy Long Long made his U.S. debut in 1998, but it was his spectacular performance of the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto at the Ravinia Festival in 1999, filling in for the ailing Andre Watts, that propelled him into the public eye as a star. Long Long serves as an unofficial ambassador for UNICEF and was first to perform on the Traveling Peace Piano, which raises funds through performance for the children of the world. We're so delighted to have you in our studios with us, Long Long. You are a very, very prominent artist, and welcome to Crossover.
Thank you very much.
I can only say that I am certainly aware of you, as is the whole world. You burst upon the scene with a fantastic debut. I wanted to ask you, you seem to have gotten your breaks filling in for indisposed artists. How does that work? Are you prepared with a work beforehand, or how does that work?
I mean, you always need to prepare the work you play, you know. And for me, to substitute for Andre Watts, that was
amazing.
Like 6 years ago.
Yes.
Now it's been like a long time ago.
Amazing,
you know?
Yes.
And I think that's one of the most highlights in my life so far, because I just get a call from Ravinia, from Maestro Christoph Eisenbach, who's
our
music director.
That's right.
He called with Zaire Mehta, the executive director of New York Philharmonic. But that time, they all were in Chicago for the Ravinia Festival. So they called, they said, we really like your play, so can you fill in? So it's magic. And I came back.
What was it, 2 days before?
Or? It's like 1 day and a half.
Oh, my.
Yeah, in the morning. And then the concert is the next evening. And Maestro Isaac Stern was there as the speaker of the ceremonies.
Oh, okay.
So he went to my rehearsal, and he really liked it. And then so he gave me a phenomenal speech before I went to stage.
Oh, how
and
wonderful. That was the Tchaikovsky?
That's the Tchaikovsky, yeah.
And then, again, didn't you also fill in that year? I read somewhere for Richard Goode.
Yeah, that's...
It was really quite interesting, because you were filling in here and then you were filling in
not
there.
Not only that. I mean, in Chicago, what I did is like... I don't know what other I made for world records, but certainly in Chicago, I made 3 world records that... I mean, one world record is for 3. I'm a totally full-time artist there, because this is the reason, okay? I fill in for the Ravinia Festival for Andre Watts, and then Richard Goode cannot play in the recital in the Symphony Center, so I fill in for the recital.
Unbelievable.
Then, a year later, Pollini got canceled with the Chicago Symphony subscription concert, and I fill in for the subscription concert. So, you see, subscription, recital, plus Ravinia Festival.
Unbelievable.
So it's a,
Pollini, marvelous, wonderful pianist.
Absolutely.
But what was it that you played for that one?
Mendelssohn. I mean, that time it's already, I mean, I'm already well known in that area. And then it's really, we just get a recording together with the Chicago Symphony and the Maestro Barenboim. And then that week he couldn't do it. And coincidence, I'm free. So
we hear about artists, actually people that are trying to make their debut, mm-hmm. and they, especially singers, for instance, they almost plan to have a debut where someone will be ill and
then they will
come in.
I know.
But with you, it was so genuine.
It was
a dream.
It's a funny story. You know, when Martha Argerich came to play Prokofiev 3 many years ago, it was like 4 or 5 years ago,
yes.
And Philadelphia Orchestra called me and said, you know, in case you just prepare a little bit this piece, if she's not showing up, I think we need you.
Well, I think you have to you have to keep a list of all these things of the great, you know, artists, and just in case they need Long Long. Mm-hmm. But you, of course, have made your name. You are so terribly...
I mean, fortunately, no, I don't need this.
No, you don't. Well, actually, I guess you never needed it, but the point was that it was really a very interesting way.
I really needed it that time.
Did you?
As you
did
know,
you?
That when you're young and
you're
that
breaking
time I'm
in.
Like 16, 17, that we really need a big break.
And you got it. But you made it work. I always say that it's always good to get a break, but if you can't make it work for you, I mean, mm-hmm. it's up to you, you know, if you have the talent and mm-hmm. you make it work, mm-hmm. it's wonderful. But if you get a break and You know, that's not always the answer to a great career. I love, of course, the Rachmaninoff third. I mean, I just think you're spectacular playing that. Tell me, what is it about that particular piece that frightens everybody? Is it terribly difficult?
It's really terribly difficult. And I started when I was 11 years old. I started playing that piece after I learned the Tchaikovsky Concerto number one. I was playing this piece because I thought this is impossible. It's a very hard piece for anybody, you know, for everybody. And I just thought I should start early. Actually, I start difficult pieces very early, like the Goldberg Variation Bach. Yeah, started very early. I play, and then the Complete Chopin Etudes. I played very early in my career. So that's why I'm not afraid those pieces, at least. You know, of course, I know there's a lot of things I need to learn. But the thing is that when you begin very early, if you can manage it, you know, don't push your heart, yourself too hard. If you really manage it, that's okay. You know, you don't need to be play really great. And I mean, it's hard to play really great.
Of course.
You know, you need time. But the good thing is that by when you're like 17, 18, after those years of experience,
yes,
and I'm sure it comes. The personality comes, the style of music comes, and everything else comes. So I think it's important to just start to read those scores.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And of course, your interpretation changes over the years, doesn't it?
Exactly.
As you grow and you mature and you feel things, for me, that's a passionate, wonderfully, wonderfully passionate performance, but also technically, you play very brilliantly. And of course, Rachmaninoff was a great pianist. Is his writing, his pianistic writing, I know he had the extension of a 12th, I think. Yeah, huge hands.
I think he has reaching 13.
Really, did he?
I can't reach 12, actually. I do. But there's one day I saw just a few weeks ago, in the dinner, I saw this very famous Russian and soprano, mezzo-soprano, Borodina.
Yes.
And she can reach 13 also. I mean, I was thinking I had a big hands, but oh my God, there's so many
13,
big Russian lady
really?
Or Russian man has such a big hands.
Has such a very, very big hand,
unbelievable.
Yes. But of course, he wrote so pianistically because he was such a wonderful pianist.
Oh my God, he's a genius. I think in the past that there's so many genius, but for a pianist, in the same time as a composer, I think Franz Liszt has the most
incredible.
Even we didn't see his playing. Yes. We don't have a Hollywood movie that time. But
No. I have a question now. We have a recording of Horowitz playing the Rachmaninoff Sonata.
The number two.
And there is a story there that evidently Rachmaninoff composed it, and it was just too long, and he felt it was just too long, and he started to revise it.
Yes.
And then he cut out a lot of things, and then he got so disgusted with it, and of course, I think he dedicated it, if I'm not mistaken, to Horowitz.
Yes, yeah.
And then he gave it to Horowitz and said, well, do whatever
you
want with it.
Yeah.
So what is the version that you play?
I play the revised edition.
Which is the Horowitz?
No. Horowitz plays a very special
very
edition.
Incredible.
He plays, I think he is in between. It's like between the revised or the original, what we call the original version. But he's adding lots of things.
It's very spectacular.
Very. Fortunately, I have a Horowitz piano in my house now. In Philadelphia, of course. And I practice on the piano and working on those pieces. It's really convenient.
How does it feel?
It's fantastic because it's very similar to the voice. I mean, the sound, because as you know, certain piano has certain sound.
Yes, of course.
And then that piano has a very big sound, which, you know, it's really blows your mind, that kind of sound. And especially the bass, you know, as maybe you may discover when you hear Horowitz recording.
Of course. What a left hand. Not human.
And so once I hear those recording for Mozart sonatas or Scarlatti,
and the transcendental etudes of
Liszt or Scriabin.
The Scriabin. Yes, you have done the Scriabin.
Yeah, I have done that.
But how does it feel to play that piano, to know that this was the Horowitz piano?
It's an honor. You know, it's like playing Carnegie Hall, that kind of thing. You know, this piano has such a great history with him. He took to many, many places. He performed.
Now, how did you get it?
Obviously, it's a Stanley piano.
Yes.
I have a friend who names Tali, and then she owns this piano. And then she's also she works with piano, so she's a piano tuner or technician. Yeah, and so she's taking care of this piano very well after the redone. So she just think that I should have this piano for practice and also maybe for concerts. And obviously to bring the piano around the world for traveling. It's a little bit hard, but now of course you know this the Steinway Peace Piano, which is designed for UNICEF,
which is
doing this thing.
Well, that's exactly answered my next question. Now, have you played that piano?
I'm the first one to open that piano when I was became the youngest international goodwill ambassador to UNICEF. That day, Steinway launched this piano at the UN.
I
played it. So it's really great because it's the same night I've been appointed.
And what did you play on the piano?
I played the Lise Liebestrom, and I played Chopin Nocturnes, and I played the Johann Strauss Fledermaus.
Oh, my.
I also played some Chinese music. And the interesting thing, I played with the two very, very talented pianists, very young, and they're 14 and 12.
Yes.
So it actually is a brother and sister. So
yes.
I played with them and I had great time with them. We played six hands together.
That's wonderful.
And it's a very good piano, but obviously, as you know, it's very new, so we still need some work to do.
You need a lot of people to play on it.
Yeah, we need to really bring the sound up again, but this has a beautiful quality. And also the look of the piano is spectacular. You have all the flags.
Oh, yes, on the with the music. The
flags, and then also you have the stars.
The stars. So what color is
it? It's a kind of like brown or yellowish, that kind of color. It's like original wood color.
Original wood, uh-huh.
And then, but I mean, in a very beautiful way, you know, it's not just look
of course
original.
Not, yes.
And then you have the flag around the piano. The entire piano is surrounded by the world flags.
Oh,
there's
how
like
wonderful.
188 or 90-something,
yes.
Lots of flags. And then the pedal looks also quite interesting, you know. And so it's a special made, and it's made for a fundraising, for touring.
And, of course, it's an amazing concept. You were listed at one point when you were in the teenager as one of the top 20 teens to influence.
To change the world.
To change the world. Wow. I mean, that was a little daunting, huh? I mean, how did you feel about that?
It's good. I must say it's a good compliment and very good, especially voted by the People family, this magazine. And so now I try to do it. You know, I try to bring many more young people to come to classical concerts.
And to inspire them.
To get inspired and to play instruments and to be part of a music family. Because it's not just, you know, it's nice to listen to music, but the way to achieve this is that I think every children should listen to music, because it's the music really gives them something which they maybe normally they don't experience every day in their everyday life. It's something in the very spiritual thing, and also it's connected to the heart. Not only that, it's another thing is that the music is like universal language.
Exactly.
I mean, even you play German music, French music, you know, you can
hear
it.
The notes on the page are all the same.
Yes, and it's not unlike the language, you know, if you don't learn it, you don't understand. So this is a phenomenal thing.
Now, you started very young. I mean, you were very fortunate. Your father is a musician, is that right?
Yes.
He plays the Chinese traditional violin. When you started to learn, I mean, you were very, very young when you started to play,
when I was two, I already started playing, and I already started watching Tom and Jerry playing this Hungarian Rhapsody. So finally, I'm playing this piece.
Now, whose arrangement is that?
The Horowitz arrangement of the Liszt original. So after the original score, and so Horowitz did a crazy transcription.
Yes, he did a crazy, like his Stars and Stripes is a crazy one. Did you play that one too?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's really amazing. So you started, touch the piano? Was it something
you did? Yeah, I started to improvise on the piano.
You just got up, you were little. Stood up and probably on the chair or something.
In a very funny way. I couldn't sit. I just stood up I play. There's an early video, actually. It's in my first DVD, which is just out. And it has a theme that I'm playing piano. But I couldn't reach the pedal, I really stood up when I played, and I like that way actually.
It's comfortable, isn't it?
I told Stanley that I hope if there's a piano we can reach the legs, we can have higher legs.
I think some of the rock pianists did that. I think it was Jerry Lee Lewis. Somebody stood up and he would play piano. He wouldn't sit down and he was banging on that piano.
That's not my that's also nice. But what I like just. Experience for fun, not for a real concert, but for parties, we can have a long legs for the piano.
Yes, very high.
And very high, and then you play, and very comfortable. You don't need always, your butt is happier.
Yes. But hard to do the pedal. So again, you started very, very young, and you were definitely a prodigy. I mean, I guess they knew that. Right.
Fortunately, I don't know what is a prodigy, but the things I learned very quickly, and I have some talent, I think. So, and when I was 5, I played first recital. So,
yes, and you won
the competition
prize.
At the same time. Yeah.
And then, of course, you entered Curtis when you were 15? You were invited to
14 and a half. I went to America. Yeah.
So, how did that? I mean, you were a musician from the very, very beginning. And did you feel special? Did you feel separate? Did you feel different from the other children? Were you proud of it?
There's actually, I must say that. Sometimes you feel that maybe in the school, sometimes when they go out to have a picnic and I need to stay home
to practice.
That moment, sometimes I felt, oh, it's not so nice to be a pianist. But in the other hand, that when you play concert, you invite your colleagues comes. And then, they bring flowers to you, and they really admire you, and I really enjoyed it.
You enjoyed that. You were the center of attention.
Yeah. So, as you know, if you like to achieve something, you need to give something.
Of course.
You must give something up, and obviously that later is okay because I'm surrounded by the musicians.
Yes,
so
the young,
they're all
the,
like
all,
that,
they're
you
all like
say,
that. So you're in a group and you're almost not standing out because they're all very,
they're
very
all
talented.
Like that. So, but I, as you know, that if you are in the middle school, which the people normally attend, a typical music school.
Not a conservatory.
It's a little strange, I must say. But now I think I'm back to normal. Even I'm traveling a lot, but I have so many friends, and I have a lot of time to rest, not just working. I mean, once I work very hard, because you must work hard, because if you don't work hard on music, you don't get in, It is a natural thing to do, music. It's not it's a forceful thing, but you really need to put your heart into it, and you need to really just into the world that you are in.
And that is one of the things you do when one watches you play. And I think you've been criticized for that as well, for being terribly emotional and very much in the music and very, very physically active. I think that if you really feel it, that's what happens.
It depends the pieces. Recently, fortunately, I don't get those criticized things anymore in this 6 months. I've been...
You've been more controlled?
No, it's not because me. I think it's because that obviously, I think I improved also. But the thing is that, you need to have a progress. This is like once you come to see a pianist play very differently than the traditional in way, which is maybe sit tight and then behave, And then once you see somebody come from Asia, and then in the beginning, it's not so, you're not really used to this kind of concept.
Oh, really?
And so that's why I think I got some negative things, reaction. And then once they understand me more, and once they know me as a person, and once I played more concert for them, you know, because you cannot judge one concert and then to, oh, this artist is good or not. You need to. So that's why audience is expecting to hear good performance, not just for once, but for,
always.
Always good. You know, yes. You always, and you need to improve every time you play. So then, you know, in the time goes 5-6 years. Then, so because my American career started like 6 years ago.
Yes.
So in these 6 years that I try my best to play every concert I can offer. And then in the time being, and then the critics say that you're, you know, to they really see it, that you improved, not only in that, but also that you shows all kind of variety of the repertoires.
Yes.
Like, for example,
well,
I always changing like Beethoven to Rachmaninoff,
yes,
and to Mozart and to Chopin.
Yeah.
You play all kind of things, and also new music. And then, you know, then they will see that,
well,
you're,
because you're not,
you
know, a, what we call a flash in the pan.
Yeah, I mean.
But speaking of music, mm-hmm, when you grew up, of course, you grew up in China, and that is a different music. I mean, mm-hmm, the traditional mm-hmm music is the pentatonic, you know, the most of it is very five tone scale and mm-hmm and so on and so forth. And I just wondered, when you first started to play, what repertoire did you play, aside from the very beginning things? I mean, did you play Western music? Or did
yes,
you play...
I did both, actually. I played the Chinese music because I have a big influence from my family. We always have a family concert every week.
Yes.
It's like Saturday. You know, crossover.
crossover.
You know, I've been listening to your program for many years, since when I was a student.
Oh,
I really
that's wonderful.
This program,
thank you.
You know. And... back to China. And so I played also. The story is this. My teacher gave me, my first teacher was a lady who's actually studied with a British teacher when she was young. You know?
So she learned
so
the
she
Western.
Yes, very well. Actually, she's a really good teacher. So she gave me every week like this. Etudes by maybe Czerny etudes.
Of course.
And then you must play this.
Of course.
Don't like it. And then you play, I play a little like a sonata or a sonatina by Mozart or by Clementi.
Clementi, sure.
And then to learn a piece by Bach. I learned a lot of those classical
or baroque period.
I really didn't play Chopin until I was like 6.
Well, it's very chromatic and it's...
I played only in Chopin waltz when I was 5. But I mean,
but not the real
pieces.
The real,
you know,
McCoy, as
yeah
we say.
But I really love it because it's so...
it's,
I always keep, you know, my mind very, you know, in a very proper way, what we call. It's not just when you started, you play the flashy pieces.
Yes.
Know, but to be a serious musician,
and,
you know, from
yes,
the beginning.
Exactly.
So
okay,
that's what I really like. You need to keep this in your,
yes,
in your blood, basically.
Right.
Then, in the same time, I had some fun time, I always had fun time, but I played some Chinese music every week with my father and with my grandfather.
What did he play?
He plays harmonica.
What is a harmonica or a harmonica?
Harmonica, I think.
Oh, the mouth.
Yeah, the
oh
mouth. The harmonica. I'm sorry.
And your
yeah
father plays yeah the violin.
Yeah,
the air,
yeah, and also my uncle sings very well. She's a very very good singer. So it's a very musical.
Ooh, wonderful concert.
Yeah, and my mother danced with me. You
oh,
know, and,
that's beautiful.
Not only me, but my cousins, my friends, early
yeah
childhood friends. So it was every week we have this family concert, and I just love it. It's like a little Vienna, you
yes
know.
Isn't
every
that wonderful?
You
yes
need to improve, and then you shows up, and that's how much you improved.
So here we are with Eastern music, and you were playing Western music from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But I think you have performed Eastern, some Chinese traditional things, are they, or new
yes
music?
Yes, I played pieces with my father. We bring the family tradition to Carnegie Hall and to Kennedy Center, to Berlin, Vienna, to London, Paris.
How interesting.
It's really great. And
what
and,
kind of a reaction did you get?
And also, I played in Kemo with my father. And the audience just love it. I think it's really fun to see play father and son plays Chinese traditional
music.
Well,
you accompany your father,
yes,
right?
Yes, a duet. It's like a duet.
It's a duet. But it's very different. Is it, again, very different music? I just wonder how someone that is brought up with really a very, very strong Eastern culture mm-hmm. adapts to our Western music. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I'm asking you.
I think it works because, obviously, that my father will play the same way he should play, you know, to play the pure Chinese music. But for me, my part, in the company part, I add lots of the Western kind of, like, is that the fifth tone, you know?
Sometimes the five tone, yes.
And I add lots of things similar.
Have you played that Yellow River Concerto
yes,
at all?
I am. I'm actually playing the Yellow River Concerto this New Year in
yes,
China.
Yes.
And it's going to be...
It's really quite beautiful.
It's a nice piece. Actually, yeah. I must say, even I know it has some problems.
Yes.
But... Overall, it's a beautiful piece. It's very romantic.
Romantic and very, very much it tells a story. Of
yeah, it's
course.
Like in between Rachmaninoff, Tchaikovsky,
yes.
and Liszt.
Yes.
It's like in between those that. And
well,
plus
that's a lot of playing.
Chinese composers did a good job. Like.
Since you are a representative for the younger generation, really, and you are, and a very successful one, and a very passionate one, what can you say? Can you give any pointers on how they should cope with the stress of the world? It's a very difficult time to grow up now and to make decisions about what do you do with your life? How do you deal with things? I know you have an outlet. Music is an amazing outlet. Mm. Any of the arts is because it's a way of speaking to yourself. But what could you suggest? Have you any pearls
of
wisdom?
I think there's three different levels of the development in this world. First of all, we have this wealthy... The Westerns, like the Americans or the Europeans, the West Europe.
The West, yes.
That people live in a very, very, I mean, children live in a very good place. I mean, places, in order to say...
You mean the standard of living?
Yeah, standard of living.
Yes.
You know, they have a very wealthy early childhood life, and they play toys and
they have
music.
Things,
they have
material
everything.
Things.
And you have a developing country like China or... Like countries like that,
yes.
You know, it's like Russia, also same thing. I think
yes.
That you have a limited resources, but you still live in a pretty good way, you know, very happy, very healthy, you know.
Yes.
And then you have this...
the third world problem.
Africa.
Yes.
I just been to Africa.
I went
to Tanzania
uh-huh.
for a 5 days visit as ambassador to the UNICEF, and I was thinking those people, what we really need to pay attention, it's the children who live in Tanzania or countries like Kenya or South America, you know, some of the countries
yes.
in South America, that they don't have, they have nothing.
Nothing.
They have nothing, but what they have is a beautiful face, beautiful spirit, and a wonderful hope for the future.
Yes.
And I think those children, that is going to be my focus. And when there, I dance with them and we play together. And I also, we try to raise this subject as high as possible to really raising the funds or raising money for them or to buy materials for them for mosquito nets or, you know, there's so
basic,
much thing to
basic
do.
Basic living necessities.
Yeah, and then if you don't have a basic living, it's not because they don't work hard. It's because the place that they have a malaria diseases, they have a, sometimes they, because like also in China, in one province, one city, a small village that everybody, like they give their blood, they sell their blood, you know this?
Oh, yes.
And then because the new is so dirty, they using over
and
again.
Over.
Then they got AIDS.
Yeah.
You see, this kind of thing is really unacceptable because they are so innocent. It's not because they're doing bad things and they got AIDS, or those children because they just don't work hard and they got malaria. It's not because of that.
Of
it's because the other
the standard.
Yeah. So I think those really we need to help those innocent kids.
The innocent kids,
yeah.
And what about the kids that have everything and they are committing
suicide? I think they need
suicide.
To appreciate
what
of
you,
their
what you,
life.
What you...
I think the kids today in America, I found that, I mean, I must say the truth, you know. I found, some percentage works, you know, really take this, because as a, I mean, as a people grow up in China, I must say America has the best facilities.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes when you live in this country, when you were born in this country, you don't realize that.
Yes. No, you
and
don't.
And then you don't really work hard to get that. And I think there's so much thing we can take from the resources.
Yes.
And to be successful, to be helpful to other people. You know, there's so much thing we can do in this country. And I really think that the children who live here need to be more grateful for what they have in their hand, and to try to really, you know, to keep this as a fantastic beginning. And they really, really need to do lots of really, I think, not only, you know, not only to study hard, but also to supporting the children from other countries.
From other countries.
And then because
to think
after,
of other people besides themselves.
Yeah.
Well, Long Long, that's wonderful. And coming from you, it's really very precious. And you have a wonderful soul. You can see it. And, of course, I heard it in your music. But speaking with you has been really an enlightening and delightful experience. I thank you so much for coming to Crossover and sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
A pleasure.
This. Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care.